I was reared in a tradition of good, conservative, and Bible-believing folks who were buttoned up. We were not a people known for expressing emotion, especially in worship. So it should come as no surprise that I remember the scandalous moment a woman broke our house worship rules. She was a middle-aged woman standing in a sea of 400 congregants. And as the congregation moved into the chorus of some hymn we had sung on hundreds of Sundays, she raised a single hand. It was an expression of adoration, of praise. But to the rest of the congregation, it was alarming, a red flag, an indication of some sort of holy protest. The tension was palpable as a deacon crossed the sanctuary and asked her to lower her hand, to not make a scene, to conform. We were not charismatic. We were not holy rollers. We were not people of raised hands. Some years later, I attended a youth gathering where we sang songs with simpler melodies. Songs of praise we called choruses. On stage, the leader led a song by the great worship pioneer, Dennis Jernigan. He built through the first verse, and as the chorus reached its crescendo, I felt the coming of a new freedom. And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky, when the world wonders why, we'll just tell them we're loving our King. Swept up in the chorus, I raised my hands for the first time. And in that simple act, I began to understand. My expression of worship affected and reflected the posture of my heart toward God. In this simple act of lifting my hands, it felt as if I was lifting my heart too, and it was the most natural act of praise. Years passed, and I became a worship leader and songwriter in my own right. Following the lead of those like Jernigan, I made it a practice to incorporate postures of worship into my songs. Yet, did I fully understand the power of the hand raised in praise? In May 2003, I traveled to Sherman, Texas for a worship gathering called One Day, hosting over 40,000 university students. There, I saw this expression of praise come to life. In the months before One Day, I'd been working on a chorus, one I thought God had put on my heart specifically for this gathering. I lifted the chorus straight from the pages of Isaiah 6, verse 3. Holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. But I couldn't seem to find the right lyric for the verse. I approached my friend Louis Giglio, and he suggested that I take a look at Nehemiah 8. There's something there, he said. Following his lead, I opened the scriptures, and there I found my missing lyrics. The verse flowed, almost without effort. We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing, Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. On that afternoon in May, I waited backstage to lead worship as notable preacher John Piper took the podium. If you know Dr. Piper, you know following him is no small task. Still unsure which song I'd lead after what was sure to be his incredible sermon, I listened for any cue. I was on my knees in the backstage grass, asking God, please don't let me mess this up. John stood at that podium, surveying the crowd and letting the tension settle. A moment passed, and in his smooth baritone, he began. I have a word for you from Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.